Like, my sobriety date is 9/9/18. And I genuinely do believe, although I call that my sobriety date, I don't believe it's mine, meaning I don't own it. It's not a possession, it's on loan, contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And what an honor or privilege. Yeah. And this Beacon Group, it just seems like everywhere I go, I hear about Beacon Group. Right. This really exciting time in AA where 4 years ago the world fell apart and our program just got bigger and brighter and tighter. And I commend this group for the continued 4+ years of carrying the message on a daily basis and how incredibly valuable that is. And what an honor and a privilege to be able to share my experience. And I emphasize my experience because again, I was asked to sub for my sponsor. And yes, I do have a sponsor. He has a sponsor, and I have the honor and privilege of sponsoring men through this program, and they sponsor men through this program. And that continued lineage, right, where that we that sort of inner circle around the circle inside the triangle, and again, this this idea of it's the opposite of separation, right? It's connected. And so when I was asked to speak on step 8 and 9, I don't know about you guys, but my brain just it skips 8. I remember that with my first sponsor and sitting down and going through the steps, and he would talk about, right, that we made a list of all, right, of all people we had harmed, right, and the emphasis on the harmed, willing, and amends, right? So harmed, right? And it says in our big book on page 82, it talks about the description of the harm that an alcoholic does, right? When I was trying to make the list, and my sponsor emphasized, it's just a list. Stop jumping into 9. Right? Again, I think that for me, the challenge was, again, I know that the big book very clearly suggests that I take the names from my 4-step, right? And again, I transfer them over, but boy, that was like just the surface, right? Because again, with my untreated alcoholism and the way that I ran rampant throughout people's lives, I caused a lot of damage, and again, I'm so selfish and self-centered and self-seeking. I create damage and I'm not even aware of it, right? And again, going through the process, and thank God that steps 1 and then step 2 comes after 1 and 3 comes after 2 and 4, because each step really was genuinely preparing me, right, for that next step. But not, it wasn't the next step, right? If any alcoholic has tried to do the, let's just take an extra step with a load of laundry, it doesn't end well. It might seem more efficient to me, but I'm missing something. And so those first 7 steps, for me, really, it was about me. Again, it was about my alcoholism. It was about the fact that I am powerless over alcohol and that my life is unmanageable, non-contingent on my drinking. If anything, my life becomes a lot more unmanageable without my alcohol, because that was my solution, right? Solution to what, right? To self-reliance, to my sensitivity, as my sponsor always says I am, right? I'm sensitive, Jeff, I tell him, right? He says, yes, you're an alcoholic, right? And again, too, that idea of sanity. I genuinely looked at that second step and thought to myself, I'm not insane. I've just caught in some raw deals. If you were me too, you would have done the things I did. Again, you ask the fish how they like the water, they have no idea what you're talking about. I was so insane that when you talked about restoring me to sanity, I said, I don't need that. I just need to stop drinking. Right. And then again, so then coming to believe, and then that growth and that cracking that door open just enough to let in God's grace, just enough to realize that maybe I'm not all that matters, and I am not going to be my solution, right? Because my problem center's right here. It wasn't in here. right? Again, so two, step three, right? Now all of a sudden, after many years of not being employed, what the big book tells me is I have a new employer. I have a new director, right? I have a new father, right? And I mentioned that word father because I don't want to give a crash course. I'm not qualified to give you a crash course on how you should do the steps, right? I'm just sharing my own experience with steps eight and nine. And again, so I have a new employer, right? No, I'm no longer running the show, right? I'm going to be and do as God would have me be and do. But even in three, I think I agreed to that because I had no idea what that looked like. And then we went resolutely, right? We quickly got to doing that inventory, right? To find out again. What I thought it was about what had happened to me. It wasn't, right? It doesn't say in our big book that I share in a general way what it was like. Because what it was like is contingent on what I was like. And what I found out in that fourth, and then going into that fifth, I was able to see that I'm selfish, self-centered, self-seeking. I'm angry. I'm afraid of everything. And I'm the last person to know it. And all my self will run riot and actions, right? Again, playing that director, created just pure chaos. Six and seven, right? That we talk about in this program, the pause and the proceed, right? Six was again, I'm opening up, right? I'm getting to my right. I'm getting connected, and then I'm doing God's work, right? On a daily basis. 14 lines in our big book. It's everything in my life on a daily basis. Go figure, right? And then I come to eight, right? And eight, when my sponsor emphasized, and I've done this twice, but when my both sponsors in their own ways conveyed to me, like, look, Mark, I don't need you to think about how you're going to do these amends. I need you to stay on eight, and I need you to make a list of all persons we have harmed, right? And then once I have that name, that list of names, right? Then I get to seek the willingness, right? And if I don't have it or if I don't want to, then I get reminded about that job contract back in step three. Right? That it's no longer about what Mark wants, right? If anything, what Mark wants is killing Mark and hurting countless others, right? So, how cool is that, right? I mean, just in that few minutes, right? Again, my reminder to me of how I'm not leaving steps one through seven to go into eight. I am bringing one, two, three, four, five, six, seven into the current step. And if I'm stuck on a step, as my sponsor says, right? We do not regret the past nor wish to shut the door. I can't shut the door. If I'm stuck, I look back on that last step and I might have to go back. Great news though. Again, the idea of us referring to the willingness isn't going to come from me because I lack power. I can make a decision, but without the willingness, right? It's the three frogs we talk about on the lily pad. Like I want to be willing, which is great start. But I mean, I can want my power drill to screw something in the wall, but if I don't connect, if I don't find a source of power, I'm just holding a drill in my hand, really, really wanting a screw to go into the wall, right? So when it comes down to these names, right? And again, thank goodness for good sponsorship. You know what I was missing, guys, because I'm selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, was I had wrote down all the people I had done some bad stuff to. That's what my definition of harms was. Now, number one, we can laugh at ourselves, or at least I can take myself not too darn seriously, even in some serious things. But again, is that I don't remember half the stuff I did. So if I'm just going off of my memory, right? So I really just wrote as many names down as I could think. I thank goodness for going over it with my sponsor and then him allowing me to share with him why I thought that name was on there. Then he would ask me questions, right? Perspective, because again, if I'm just going to do this right on my own, I'm going to report to God with it. I'm missing that third part of that triangle, right? So again, the names that weren't on my list originally, it wasn't the things I had done to them. It was the things I had not done. When we talk about, Garth Brooks says the unanswered prayers, I think about, thank goodness for the things that higher power didn't give me that I asked. And then I look at the absence of myself and my friends, my family, page 19, and those people's lives. I just wasn't there. I was in the room with them sometimes, guys, but I wasn't there because I'm here. And I spend so much time here, that I'm not present, because here typically is 10 minutes ago, 6 years ago, or it's an hour from now or next year, right? I can think my way right out of reality, right? Logic and reason only gets me so far. If anything, on my own again, I get back into self and I can't get out of self with self. So I made that list, and I love too that, when we talk about freedom, that I was willing to go to any lengths. And so I'm grateful that that connection I made and the lessons learned and the experience points that I got through 1 through 7 made me very willing to write down those names, right? Holding nothing back. How free do I want to be, as my sponsor says all the time, right? And so making that list, right? And then really kind of, again, going over it, reflecting, prayer, reflection, right? Prayer and reflection, and then perspective, right? Again, is when I talk with my sponsor, right? There were a few times where, again, where I talked with my sponsor and I was able to see that even when I described the harms I had done, I was doing it from such a place of selfishness, right? Again, I'm lacking the whole picture. I can only be so spiritual. My glasses, right? As Chuck said, I can get a new pair of glasses. But I feel like sometimes my sponsor is like my eye doctor. Like, he's telling me, is this good? Is this good? Is this good? Is this good? Right? And sometimes it feels like a trap, but it's not, right? Again, it's so amazing that I don't agree with my sponsor very often, which is really good news. That's why he's my sponsor. But I gave him this thing called spiritual consent that he asked for when we started working together, right? And that meant that he's going to tell me things I probably don't want to hear, right? But if I can be open with that, if I can allow that grace to understand it comes from a place of love, that's when like this spiritual alchemy happens, right? And that was where, again, I went from 8, I just wrote down the names. I'm willing, right? I wrote down the ones I'm able to do right now. I'm able, that I will eventually be able to do, and the ones that I don't know how I'll ever do. Because it wasn't for me, I think originally I thought it was the ones I wasn't willing to do. Willing to do. No. Is if I'm not willing to do those amends, all of them, time to go back again. Right? So again, entirely ready, willing. I was talking with a coworker of mine this morning, and we did the 7-step prayer together, right? The prayer that comes before the 8th step. And it says, right, as I go out to do your bidding. It wasn't Mark's bidding, right? And that's what I love about step 9. Because again, too, through working with others, I've seen where that can be sort of, it can be a turning point in a negative direction. Because although we've learned all this stuff and we found a new solution, I'm unable to face that with a neutrality that only comes from God. Right? Ironic, right? That self will get in the way of doing that. Right? So, the idea of step 9, right? Made direct amends. And I thought direct meant in person, which is so great. My sponsor who is on here, who I've yet to ever give a hug, hand a cup of coffee, right? We've been working together at least 3 years. I've never I've never been closer with a human being in my life. Right. And my fiance knows it. And she says, Mark, you keep doing that. She's cool with that. Because again, the stuff that me and my spiritual consenter talked about, my fiance don't want to hear about. Right. Again, that it's not appropriate. And I'm not talking about, inappropriate things. I'm just talking about the neutrality because this sponsor is neutral in the spiritual realm. He's not coming at me with an agenda. Again, it's like this spirituality allows us to sort of set aside, to set aside, but it takes action. And that's what those first steps came to. That's why, gosh, I don't know about you, but I wanted to make amends really early in recovery. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, I want, spoiler alert, don't suggest it. What that turns out to be is usually a self-centered apology followed by a disappointment and an initial or an eventual resentment by maybe both parties, right? So step nine, I remember talking with my sponsor and again, he taught me some really great frameworks, right? That again, which was, I'm going to let this person know I'm doing an amends. First, I'm going to pray on it. I'm going to talk with my sponsor and I'm going to get that perspective that comes from neutrality that says maybe not a good idea to reach out to this person, right? You cleaning up your side of the street does not involve messing up their side of the street, right? Some of the best amends I was able to ever do is to stay out of that person's life, right? That don't mean I still didn't have some action to do. I don't get off that easy, right? And so this cool thing about how direct amends, direct, I don't even when I hear that word, I'm thinking about the director and it's not me. So when I'm talking with my sponsor about what those amends look like, I remember my sister, COVID happened and I was on a roll with my amends and I'm really grateful that we don't wait to go to 10 until we finish our amends. Could you imagine that? Oh, right. Thank goodness. Especially because that 10 and 11 practice really, it was like this action bookends on both sides of my entirely ready. And then my morning when I retire at night, and then my upon awakening, and it was like this cool little like caption, right? Of again, the wreckage of my past, but it isn't my present. Right? The work that was done, the action, this program, right? My relationship with God had allowed me to go into those amends safe and protected. It almost felt like, guys, it almost felt like I was representing Mark. Right. And what I mean by that is because, again, what I was saying, those are things I'm no longer doing. Because if I'm still doing those, that's not an amends my sponsor taught me. That's an apology. And I can step on your foot and apologize and step on your foot and apologize. Right. But again, an amends means a change. That's why those amends are at the latter part of those steps, because I need a psychic change. I need, again, I have to be being and doing those things before I make an amends for being and doing those other things. Right. But going into those amends and again, getting consent to make an amends, not for me to surprise someone. Right. Hey, oh, it's so good to see you, buddy. I'm glad you came for coffee. Hey, I know you're having a really good day, but I'm gonna hit you with all this stuff right now. Like, that's not appropriate. My sponsor taught to me, right? Again, I give him a heads up. I say, hey, I've got this thing that's really important in my life now, and it involves talking to you about something, right? And I want to get consent with you if it's okay. We can do it over the phone. We could do it in person. Whatever you would like, whichever way you would like. Because again, it ain't about what I need. And I remember telling my sponsor, oh, I haven't made my amends with my sister because that's a big one, Jeff. It's a big one. And we're in lockdown. And he said, well, if it's a big one, it sounds like you should do it. And I said, no, but I have to do it in person, Jeff. This is a big one. And he said, oh, condition? You're putting a condition on it. Where does it say that? Right? Where does it say it? And so again, he's a creative guy, and I love that about him with this program. He's passionate. He said, where would you do it at? I said, well, I would take my sister to the beach. She loves the beach. He said, then I want you to get a wallpaper of the beach. See if she's willing to set up a Zoom call, right? And again, in these amends, like with my sister, I don't say, I'm sorry for, right? I preface with, I was wrong to have. And I'm grateful for speaking in a general way, because when I, again, wanted to make an amends to my grandmother who's on her deathbed, I wanted to tell her how bad I felt about stealing her jewelry. She didn't know I ever stole her jewelry. I don't need to bring that stuff up and make her feel worse. My spiritual realm allows me to be truthful, honest, without saying that. Right? What I'm able to do is say, I was wrong to have not been the grandson you deserve. I was wrong to have not been the brother that answered your calls. It was wrong for me to have, right? It was wrong for me to have said things that I said to you in the past, right? So again, not apology, an amends. Amends is a change. I love this part. Did I leave anything out? Man, and I'll talk about humility, courage, willingness. All right, Mark could not do that on his own. I take a deep breath. I invite my higher power in, even though hopefully he's already there because I brought him in there with me. But again, I reconnect. You can never connect too much to higher power, right? And I say to that person, is there anything I've left out, right? And I'm able to hear whatever they have to say. I don't argue. I don't talk back. I don't give them, well, yeah, no, no, yeah, no. Right? You know, one of the most beautiful experiences I had, I stumbled on this saying. It came from God. It definitely wasn't me, because I wouldn't have thought to say this. But when that person was saying those things, again, things I wasn't aware of, things I don't remember, right? Imagine, I said, how did that make you feel? Right? If I wasn't spiritually protected, I could not ask a question like that. That is way too vulnerable, right? But it's not who I am anymore. It's not who I want to be, right? So again, I'm representing my current self, the self with a higher power and a spiritual solution. It's like as if Mark, lower self, reached out to me and said, hey, right? I'm no longer here anymore. Do you mind showing up for that thing? Right? Reborn. And then, of course, I finish up with, is there anything I can do to make this right? And I've yet to have a person say, yes, $1 million. I want it in my bank account by 10. And if they did, I would say, can I get back to you? I'm going to call my sponsor. Again, I'm not going to say no, but, you know. Here's what I want to do. I believe I have maybe, you know, eight minutes, something like that. Sonny, give me a thumbs up, or give me finger. 5 minutes. Perfect. Oh, 6 minutes. Perfect. Okay. You know, two amends stories. One amends story was I had had a best friend that I was a DJ in the LA rave scene for years. And we met through pure toxicity and codependency. And again, he was my best friend for many years because we had a lot in common, if you know what I mean, right? And again, we went our separate ways, and I get into this program, you know, almost 6 years ago, and I couldn't get this guy out of my head. And then when I got to the list, he was one of the first names on the list. And then again, I talked to my sponsor, right? He said, well, have you found him? Can you find him? I said, I cannot find, and I again, way before program, I'd done searches, right? Because I'm always trying to find people. Again, I'm on a bender. I want to reunite. Thank goodness I never got a hold of this person. I could not find a speck of evidence that showed me where they were. And at that 1 year sobriety, I was willing to make the amends. I tried to find his information. I couldn't, and I set it aside, right? More will be revealed. a year ago, almost a year ago. And I had found maybe 3 years into sobriety, I'd found a sister's phone number through a friend. I reach out to that sister, I leave a message, and I just say, "Hey, this is Mark. I was a friend if you remember me, I was a friend of your brother, John. If you could just send him my number, I would really appreciate that." I heard nothing. I heard nothing. Then almost a year ago, I get a text message in Messenger, and it says, "Hey, Mark, this is John's sister. He's ready to talk to you." Right? Now, I'm like, "Oh, wait, no, this isn't the way things are supposed to work," right? I mean, I pray, right? My sponsor wasn't available, so I call, my grand sponsor. That's how it works. And again, I reach out to this guy. Now, the coolest part about this guy is I am ready to make amends. And he says to me, I said, "Man, what have you been up to?" Because I'm not going to just say, "Hey, how have you been for the last 20 years?" Let me get this off my chest. I said, "What have you been up to?" And he says, "Mark, I could tell you, man, but I'd really like to hear what's going on in your life." And I told him. And it was a complete replica of what my life has been because of this spiritual program of action. Just 1 year less, right? We're on the same path. He's in Arizona. I'm in Chicago, right? We talk every day now. It's this friendship we never had. And then I want to go to this. So my father, I lost him to an overdose a few years ago. That was big on my resentment list. It was definitely on my amends list. I remember there was this picture of my dad. He was 6'7", 280 pounds. They called him Big Mark for a reason, right? And there was this picture of him and my brother that was taken in front of Niagara Falls, right? Now, I didn't have a good relationship with my father. I gave a drunk eulogy. I was late to his funeral because I had to get right. Okay, that's my experiences before. And again, I was 100% willing to make amends. I just didn't know what that was going to look like. When he passed away, I took his ashes to New York. I'm still drinking and using, and it was a very sad situation. I'm on a bridge and I throw his ashes into Niagara, right? Now, a month before I get sober, I reach that breaking point. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to follow in my grandfather, my father's footsteps, a way out. And I don't mean the big book. I booked a room in Niagara, right? Right. I got the bill for that room in Niagara my last week in treatment because I didn't show up. Right. Now, fast forward 3 years later, I get asked to speak in New York. Right. I take a sponsee. We do an 8-hour road trip out to New York. And I'm talking in front of a few hundred of us alcoholics. And I'm talking about my story and what I was like and what happened. And all of a sudden, all of those elements came together. The picture, the ashes, my suicide attempt or almost suicide attempt. And I realize I'm an hour on my way home from Niagara. Right. I go to Niagara.
I think he's frozen.
I think his screen froze. Mark, if you can hear us, turn off your camera and try to end the story so we can hear you.
I think he's frozen on Niagara.
It's 12:35. Well, I want to hear the end of that story. Oh,
No.
he's probably going to re-sign back in. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change.
It's better.
I don't see him.
Why don't we just go ahead and start doing some announcements and if he comes back on.
Sunny?
We're going to breakout rooms now. That's what we're doing.
Okay, so I'm going to thank Mark, and hopefully he'll get to sign back in for a great talk on steps 8 and 9. AA has no dues or fees for AA membership, but we do have expenses. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside. Seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. We are observing the seventh tradition digitally on Venmo. Our Venmo address is posted in the chat, and it's at beacon-group. Please email list, please visit our website, which is posted in the chat. Our website has a lot of great information as well as recordings of our meetings. We will now have AA announcements. Are there any announcements for the good of AA?
Hi, everyone. I'm Sunny. We are looking for service members at this group. So if you want to get into service, please leave your number in the chat or take my number and send me a chat. Thank you for your consideration.
I have one announcement, Miss Janice. I'm sorry. Just finished talking to somebody. Angela.
Yes.
I got kicked off the meeting momentarily. And so Jamie now has the host of the meeting. I'm not co-host any longer either.
I can make you co-host.
I don't see Jamie on the meet. Oh, there he is. Okay. Thanks to everyone who has agreed to run a breakout room today. Please keep in mind to give equal time to everyone who wishes to share. Do not crosstalk or offer feedback. Please take a moment to be sure that your audio is muted and wait to be called upon. In a moment, you will be.
Wait a minute. Let's have Mark finish up the story.
In a moment, you will be connected to your breakout room. You will automatically rejoin the meeting at the end of the small group discussion. And when
don't go to breakout rooms, Jamie. Mark, yeah. Mark, you got to finish your story, babe.
Go ahead, Mark.
I got you. I'll unmute you, Mark.
I got you.
Okay.
Can you unmute? Oh, we did it again. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Mark Alcoholic, thank you so much. Imagine an alcoholic lack of power was my dilemma. Okay, so I'm going to end the story. Again, I'm looking at that bridge. I'm looking at that bridge, and there are thousands of people, and I don't know about you, but I know I'm going to cry a little bit when I make these amends to my dad. And there's nothing more dangerous than a crying man on a bridge at Niagara. That's how you get officials involved, right? So I start walking around this little alcove. And they've got these little cool little spots that are under trees. And I remember, but it's just like Disneyland. And I turn this corner and all of a sudden, there's this spot open. There is no one there. I don't know if they had just closed it or opened it or whatever it was, but I went there. Right? I sat down. I got to my entirely ready. And if you were there, you would have heard me have the most amazing conversation with my father. Right. And again, I did the amends the same way. And I could hear him. I could hear him. Not in my ears, but in my heart. Right. We talk about that sixth sense. And I'll tell you what the goosebump thing was. I'm on my way home from that spiritual experience. And my little brother calls, my dad's other son. And he says, "Hey, Marky, do you know what today is?" It's the anniversary of my dad's death. Now, that was something I didn't pay attention to anymore because I celebrated his birthday, not his death day. But that's the day I was at Niagara, right? If that's not God, I don't know what is, right? I love you guys. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me finish.
Thank you so much, Mark, for a great talk. So everyone, you're going to be automatic.